Thank you, Rusty, for leading that song. We tried it out on Wednesday night, and the song about ancient words, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to be talking about ancient pens from Jeremiah chapter 6, starting verse 16, and I thought it was an appropriate way to start off. We think about ancient, sometimes, you know, well, I don't know about you, I think about the mummy, or something that's covered with dust, and maybe moth-eaten, and maybe had probably better left buried or something. A lot of times that's what people think when they think about ancient, or they think about old. We think about new being better. We think about revised being better. We think about current and improved. We look for the new version of Windows coming out, or the new car, and that kind of thing. And yet, God is, in Jeremiah chapter 6, saying something entirely different. It runs counterintuitive to us in this world. And I'd like to talk about that in a minute. Let's read the passage. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." The ancient paths. Ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it. We think about, well, the good old days and this and that and the other thing. But what God is talking about here is there are certain things that are eternal that his people have walked away from. God is eternal. We need to remember that God is eternal. His plan for us and what we are meant to be and where we are, how we are to associate with him, is eternal. It is timeless. And that whenever God is calling to his people to be reconciled, he's not calling them to a new thing. He's calling them to something that is eternal and unchangeable. We talk about the modern morality. Well, a modern morality is nothing more than old-fashioned sin with a new hairdo. The way God wants things done has never changed. Honesty is still honesty. Faithfulness is still faithfulness. Love is still love. Patience is still patience. Purity is still purity. Those things do not change. God's plan for man and what he has intended for us and the things that make us happy, the things that make life good and wholesome, they do not change. Hairstyles change, clothing styles change, car styles change, but God's character does not change, and God's salvation does not change, and God's plan for how we are to be does not change. Jeremiah is speaking to a nation, and we remember from last week, he went about and he said, look, go throughout all the streets and see if you can find somebody who's honest, somebody who wants to practice the truth or looks for justice. But they didn't. They went after other things, and the leaders were teaching other things and other gods, and the people liked it that way. They weren't going to look for anything old. They were going to look for something new that felt comfortable. And they were being destroyed by it. And this is a similar picture, but it's talking about finding paths rather than truth. But it's the same idea. Jeremiah was in the midst of people who didn't want God, They paid lip service to God, but they didn't really want God. They really didn't want to follow his way. They wanted their own way. And they were going in all sorts of different directions. And God didn't sit down with Jeremiah and say, well, what can we do to make things more appealing to these people? Obviously, the Ten Commandments didn't work. Why don't we start a new campaign and talk about the Big Five? Okay? We'll figure out which big five we're going to use out of the Ten Commandments. But, you know, make it a little bit easier, a little bit nicer, and maybe we can have a little catchy jingle along with it. God wanted to bring his people back, right? He wanted to bring his people back to him, where they belonged. And he didn't dress up his word. He didn't dress up his morality. He didn't dress up what he wanted of people in order to make it easier for them to come back. He just pointed it out. There is an ancient path. There is an eternal path that God intends us to walk by. A path of faithfulness. A path of love. A path for purity. A path for love of God, walking in faith. A path of obedience. A path of forgiveness. And a path of peace. And that path hasn't changed. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of people will say, well, Jesus is giving a new law, and this is stricter than the Old Testament law. No, it isn't. What Jesus was talking about were the very qualities that the Old Testament law was pointing to. The heart behind the Ten Commandments, the heart behind the Torah, the Jewish law, the law of Moses. The righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees was the righteousness of the person who had a circumcised heart, who got it, who understood the intent of God and the heart of God, and would walk trusting in God, reflecting the qualities of God. And that was what he was shooting at when he was talking about the Beatitudes, and when he was talking about turning the other cheek and loving your neighbor as yourself. The most important command, loving God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. Those are old things, aren't they? And I mean, is there going to be any better thing than what God has already given us as far as salvation goes? I don't think so. Over and over and over again, when God's people go astray, God calls people back to what they came from. He's telling people in Jeremiah's day, remember what happened. Remember David's day when everybody was following King David and you were faithful to me and the blessings I poured out on you. Remember when you were faithful and Joshua was leading you and the success I gave you and the blessings I gave you. Remember when you were walking in my paths and how you were blessed. That hasn't changed. God is still calling his prodigals home. Isn't he? And isn't it when the prodigal realizes how far he left home that he wants to come back? This is the picture that's going on here. Seek the ancient ways. Not just because they're ancient, but because it's the good way, where the good way is, and walk in it. To look for the right way, the way of the truth. The truth does not change. Despite what a lot of people say, it's not my truth, it's not your truth and somebody else's truth, but there is truth. And it's for us to find it and to walk in it. That's the thing. That's the issue. For all of us, for all time, finding the truth as far as our relationship to God, finding the truth as far as our eternity goes, finding the truth as far as the path God wants us to walk. And God wants us to seek it. It isn't just a matter of us making up an attractive story for people or listening to an attractive story. It's a matter of wanting what is right. It is a matter of wanting God's will in your life for real and wanting God to be a part of your life for real. In the New Testament, the same kind of thing was happening. People had responded to the good news in Jesus Christ. God had planned salvation in Christ from all of eternity. We're looking at this in Sunday morning classes. God had planned salvation in Christ from all of eternity. And when Adam and Eve first came on the scene and when they first fell, God knew that he was going to have to provide a Savior. And he knew that a seed of woman was going to crush the serpent's head. And he knew, and he gave this promise through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to the Jewish people, that out of their number, a Messiah was going to come, a Christ, an anointed one, one who was going to be king on David's throne, and one who was going to save not just the children of Abraham, but in whom all of the nations would be blessed. And that's an eternal truth, and that doesn't change. And yet people in the first century, they heard the good news of eternal life in Christ, and they obeyed the gospel, and they were following, and then new teachings came along, and what happened? They started to drift away from it. And what did Paul say? I'm amazed that you're deserting. Now let me read it rather than quote it to be accurate. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, he's to be accursed. God got it right the first time. When it was preached the first time. Isn't that kind of what God is saying through Jeremiah to the Israelites? He's saying, hey, I got it right. Go back to the ancient ways. Go back to the path that I laid out for you. When Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation, what does he tell them? He says, you left your first love. Go back and do the deeds that you did at first. It's sort of like in a marriage counseling situation, you know. He said, go back and start doing the stuff that you used to do when you were in love and you weren't at each other's throats. Remember the old way that when you walked, when you got along. And do that stuff. Go back. But that was years ago. Well, yeah, go back. That's what works. And that's what God is saying. There is no updated version of the gospel. There is no updated version of what God wants. The Hebrews letter was being written to, they were in danger of wandering away. And one of the things that they're reminded of is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The message is the same. The message is the same. What we need to do is adjust ourselves to the message. And that was what God was calling Jeremiah to speak out. And when he's saying, seek the ancient ways, where the good way is, and walk in it. That's really what we need to be doing. There are several aspects to this that I'd like to apply. I'll give you another scripture that sort of illustrates it, and then I'd like to make a few applications and then give the invitation. In Matthew chapter 7, if you'll open to Matthew chapter 7, there are two passages. One, toward the end of Jesus' sermon, he says, "Enter verse 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Isn't that the same thing, kind of the same thing that Jeremiah is telling Judah 600 years before? Go seek the ancient path where the good way is. Jesus is saying, find the narrow gate and the narrow path. What we do in our society and what people have done for thousands of years is try to make the gate bigger. And we try to put one or two more lanes on the road so that, you know, it's a broader path. We don't want the narrow gate because we want to do it our way. We want to do it our way. We don't want to do it God's way. And we want a medium road. You know, I don't mind some controls, but I really like a medium path, not a narrow path, please. Can we have it? You know, Jesus isn't saying that. Salvation is God's path. The gate is God's path. The relationship is with God. And the relationship is an eternal relationship that comes from God, and it does not change. So we can't. We can't renovate God's word. We can't renovate God's will. Ancient words are the words that lead to life. Ancient words are the words that lead to peace. Ancient words are the words that lead to eternal life. It's the path that leads us to rest for our souls. We can balk at our Father's rules and regulations. We can go off and we can live in a foreign land and follow our own rules, but eventually we won't have any peace and we'll know that we're lost. And we need to come back. We need to come back. I think a couple of pieces of encouragement I think we can apply to ourselves. One thing, we need to be careful. You know, we may get anxious about, you know, about how many people respond to God's message and what are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? We may not be doing anything wrong. We need to be accurate with what we preach. If we're preaching God's eternal message, and we're doing it accurately, and we're doing it in love, we're doing it right. And it's up to the person, the individual, to respond to it or not. And sometimes I get a little bit irked, I guess is a good word for it, irked. You know, somebody said, well, what can we do to reach all of these people? What can we do to make more people come? Well, you can do lots of things to make more people come, but will it do any good? And will it change the message? That's the thing. I mean, you know, we can hand out money. We can bribe people to come. We can have all sorts of gimmicks. We can have all sorts of things that the world does to fill stadiums and auditoriums, you know? But that's not the point. If you want to fill heaven, there's just a narrow gate, right? And we have to point the way to the narrow gate. And we have to encourage people to enter through the narrow gate. Encourage people to see the narrow gate. And help them understand that it is the best way, even though it may not be as shiny and as pretty. And it isn't as shiny and as pretty. Because walking by the Spirit, yes, it involves peace and love and forgiveness and kindness and generosity and goodness and mercy. But it also involves self-control and patience and endurance. And those aren't quite so fun. And in fact, it involves us giving all of these things to other people. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. And we can't get through if we're puffed up with our own ego, our own pride, our own selfishness. We just won't fit through the door. We've got to let all of that stuff go so we can fit through the door. But it is the way. And so let's keep our focus, all right? What we're about is Christ crucified for sins. We're about the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53, who shed his blood for our sins, who died with wicked men and was buried with a rich man, and then lived to see the benefits of his triumph. Read Isaiah 53 and see if that isn't what it's saying. And compare it with what Jesus did on the cross. That was eternally in God's mind. Our salvation was eternally in God's mind. Our glory was eternally in God's mind. And there is no new gospel. There is no new morality. There is no new good news There is just the good news. There is no new version of God's Word. It's just God's Word. And it's following Him and following the path that God has laid out that we have our peace and we have our life. And we have our road map to eternal life. And that's what we need to be following. So let's not get distracted by the baubles, by the gimmicks. Yes, can we do things that might make things more pleasant? Certainly. But let's not change the message. Let's not change the path. Let's not change the things that are eternal. And it all goes back down to the eternal words. Another thing that irks me, I'm going to complain a little bit about certain things. But something else that irks me is when people start quoting the Restoration Movement fathers as if they're apostles or something. You know, Alexander Campbell said this, and Thomas Campbell said that, and so said this. Well, I mean, they're good men. They were brothers in Christ. They came up with some marvelous discoveries from God's Word, and I give them all the credit in the world. But they're not inspired apostles, and their writings are not God's Word. My writings and my sermons, I try to reflect God's Word. I read God's Word. I try to instill some motivation to follow God's Word, but I'm still not divinely inspired as the Holy Spirit led Peter and Paul and James and John and the others. And what we need to do is just what God is encouraging people to do in Jeremiah's age. Go, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Jesus would say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. What we need to do is to continue to hunger for the truth. We need to continue to hunger for the path. We need to continue to hunger for the right way. That was the problem that the Israelites had. They were more than happy just to follow somebody else. They were more than happy, especially happy, to follow somebody else that was leading them into a way that was temporarily pleasurable and comfortable, but not necessarily leading to salvation. And they chose the easy way, they chose the pretty way, they chose the wide way that leads to destruction, rather than to choose the narrow way that leads to eternal life. We have to have this hungering and this seeking. And just because we believe that guys like Alexander Campbell discovered the truth doesn't mean it's completely discovered. It doesn't mean it's completely assimilated. We still have to seek it for ourselves. We still have to know it for ourselves. We have to go back to those ancient words that we just sung about. And that's what the Restoration Movement is about. It's not being disciples of Alexander Campbell and all those guys. It's about going back to what God did on the cross. It's going back to the message that God gave through the apostles and the early church. It's not about wearing togas or robes. It's about wearing Christ. Isn't it?
Amen, brother.
It's about wearing Christ. To keep on seeking, keep on asking, to keep on knocking, to enter through the narrow gate and keep on looking for the road markers as we walk through the narrow path. That's what he wants. And that's what he's looking for. One more scripture and then I'll make the invitation. And in Romans chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, This is in view of what God did on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, and the salvation that he's given us. To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. How is that? It's presenting ourselves to God as our worship. It's not just being here and singing some songs and praying some prayers. It's presenting ourselves to God, our lives to God. Do not be conformed, this is verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. And this is the idea of being molded to this world. Do not submit yourself to the world's mold. You ever see a stamp where you may have seen something where you might seal a letter. You know, a stamp that goes on a piece of wax and a letter. It's an old-fashioned thing. The thing that makes coins, it goes ka-chunk, and the piece of metal, all of a sudden, it has that mold and the picture of the George Washington, or whoever it is, whatever kind of coin it is. And well, he's saying, don't let yourself be that way by this world. The world is trying to get you to think like them. The world is trying to get you to act like them. Everybody else is doing it. You get that from your kids all the time, right? Why can't I do that? Everybody else is doing it. Now that we're adults, we can do that, right? Right? No. We can't do that. And we're being told, don't do that. Don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because we're walking on the ancient path. We're not walking according to the new improved morality or the new improved interpretation of the Bible, the new improved idea about how we're supposed to live our lives and form our families and raise our kids and all the rest of it. We're on the narrow path. Don't be conformed to this world. That's what he's saying. Instead, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that you may prove what the will of God is. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have a new way of thinking because we're in Christ. We have a new way of thinking because we have God's Word working within us and God's Spirit dwelling within us, and we're following after His will. And what happens when we do that? We know, not just intellectually, but by experience, know that this is the path that is good. This is the path that is the path of peace that Jeremiah was talking about. This is the path that leads to eternity with God. This is the path of real blessings. It may be a little bit more difficult. It may not be as flashy or shiny. It may not have be lined with all promises of pleasures, but it has goodness and life connected to it, and it has peace connected with it. And so, we prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable. This is well pleasing. Acceptable means get a B plus or C. Now, acceptable is well pleasing. It brings a smile to your face, okay? And perfect. And that's what God's will is. And we need to recognize that and pursue it. Resist the temptations to cave into this world. If I were to leave you with one challenge, that would be it. Resist the temptations to be conformed to this world and seek God's way. And seek God's will and keep on. And we'll get there. And we'll have the path of peace. We'll be walking in it. And we'll have peace within ourselves and peace with God and peace in eternity. It isn't just ancient, but it's eternal. It's really an eternal word, an eternal path that we're looking for. If you want to learn more about this eternal word, eternal path, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need our prayers, please come forward as we stand and as we sing. Lord, you are